The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Tonight on Blitz, the Colts are out of luck at QB. Plus, why does the NFL keep fucking up the preseason? And is a great playing Matt Barkley better for Josh Allen or the Bills? All that and more, so sit back and crack a cold one. It's time to get Blitz. Welcome to Blitzed, where we talk NFL and rate popular drinks at the same time. We're coming to you live from the Blitz Bar on the Big Play Sports Network. Due to some audio issues in our last show, thanks to our shitty producer Clippy, the coach and I are back to using headsets,
yes,
which makes us look like really cool in this bar.
Why say it like that? I always wear a headset. I'm the coach, and I'm cool, right?
Introducing tonight's starting lineups, the coach.
Seriously, I did not know about this. This is so awesome.
The rookie.
Get out there and smash.
And stats.
I'm just the stats guy. I have no idea.
That's kind of my thing.
That's my thing.
The rookie is away on vacation, but he just sent us a text from this morning. He's supposed to be at some sort of music festival or something like that.
Yeah, I heard that.
The text said, wish you were here. Okay, back to football. Okay, in order to pay our respects to a great football player with a horribly fragile body, our barkeep has prepared the Colt Stampede cocktail for us. Which we're going to pour right here.
Yep.
Here we go. Which contains...
Let me get the logos.
What
right
do my
here.
Notes say here? Irish whiskey.
Hypnotique
liquor.
You say the accent.
And blue curacao with blueberries for garnish. I ate the fucking blueberries. So, coach.
Yes.
Let's give this a shot.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, cheers. Welcome to the show. To Andrew Luck.
Okay, I like the finish. Woo! No, the start's good. The finish is good. This is a solid drink.
That's not bad.
I love it. No, I really do. I wouldn't say that's with Andrew Luck. The start was good, but the finish, I don't know.
Oh.
But, you know, whatever.
Well, I'd side with you. It's a little mouthwashy, but no, whatever.
Yes,
okay,
yeah.
Coach, if you're going to compare Luck's shocking early retirement to another player that, let's be honest, retired in his prime, Barry Sanders, which one do you think over history is going to resonate the most with people?
That's a close call for me. Only because I think as a franchise quarterback, you retiring is such a huge blow to a franchise. But Barry Sanders was, like, otherworldly.
Yeah.
Right? And so even though his position, actually, at the time was more important than today, but his position wasn't super important like a quarterback, but his stature was just amazing. And you went to a game or you turned on the TV to watch Barry run.
Right.
Because, I mean, it could have been -5 and it could have been a 65-yard touchdown where he juked out the whole team.
Yeah.
So part of me wants to side with Luck, but I'm going to go with Sanders just because of what he brought and just the amazingness, just the circus show that he was. And it's something that we've never seen since.
Right.
And I never saw before that, just the way he could do it and the excitement he brought to the game. So I'll go with Sanders on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to side with you as well because of just one simple reason. Name me the starting quarterback in Detroit when Sanders was the running back. Exactly. So here's the point. Nobody could actually identify.
How'd you know I wouldn't know?
Right. Well, it's Detroit. But yeah, they probably went through about 16 of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Sanders was not only transcendent on his team, he was transcendent in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And Luck, even though he's a talent, he's just a guy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's referred to as, like, oh, he's a top 8 quarterback.
Sure. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Well, Sanders wasn't a top 8 running back. He was the bomb.
Yeah.
And remember, this is a guy that retired at 31. and had the third most yards of all time for a running back. I mean, if that guy continued to play for another 3-4 years, he easily would have overtaken 100%. Peyton, and he easily would have overtaken Emmitt Smith, who 100%. Played till he was about 58 years old.
Roughly.
Yeah,
roughly.
Something like that. So
Frank Gore's still actually on his way.
So. Clearly. Who, by the way, is number 5, I think, all time in yardage.
Isn't that
insane? Yeah,
he's just grinding it out. Grinding it out.
36, why not? Keep it going.
Hey, good for him.
To me, that was just a bomb that went off in the NFL because there was so much more to it. It's not like Barry was injured. I think Barry was just fed up with Detroit shit.
Could you imagine playing? I mean, we can talk about Calvin Johnson. We can talk about these players. And Barry, like, to bring what he brought and to not have any supporting cast around him to actually have even one great year.
Yeah.
You know, that's demoralizing.
Right.
Like, you talk about wins, like, in your life or in a game or in parts of a game. It's like, you got to have a couple wins, a big play, you got to be emotionally sustained somehow.
Yeah.
Right? And for Barry Sanders, it's like, dude, I'm bringing everything I got and then more.
Totally.
And nothing's coming back, and it's not amounting to any type of win. And that's got to be tough.
Let me tell you the only shocking thing about Andrew Luck's retirement is that Andrew Luck didn't play for the Detroit Lions.
It's true. But I can tell you, I was stunned. I was just passing by the TV. NFL Network was on, and just this blip came by with Luck retirement. Like, what?
Yeah. Anyways. All right, shut up. Yeah. If you'd like to see the if you like the recipe for the Colt Stampede cocktail and want to see what we'll drink on our next show, just visit blitzfootball.com and check out our Blitz Barkeep's blog, which is called Behind the Sticks. Clippy, let's go to first down.
First down.
Breaking news. Colts quarterback Andrew Luck has retired from the NFL. Up until 3 weeks ago, Luck told Peter King of Pro Football Talk that it was all systems go for the regular season. In a year where some NFL experts picked the Colts to win the division and go deep into the playoffs, in fact, they were a 12-1 shot to win the Super Bowl. So what movie best describes the conversation that Luck probably had with Colts owner Jim Irsay to say he was actually retiring? Who wants this?
I'll go.
Oh, yeah. Hey, coach. Rookie, miss ya.
Hate you, rookie.
Yeah, we all hate you.
So I'm going to go a little bit the way back machine here with mine. So I'm going to take, I'll just give you who it is. So it's Hulk through a couple of movies.
Okay.
And I want to juxtapose that
like
with.
Like Lou Ferrigno Hulk?
Well, not
that's
that,
way back
not
in the time
that
machine.
Far back.
Okay.
But I want to go back with, like, with Jim Irsay.
Like Ed Norton Hulk.
No, not Ed Norton either.
Just
stay with me here.
Jesus.
Ah.
Okay. He's going to go way back in the time machine to about 7 weeks ago.
To Thor Ragnarok. A couple years ago.
Gotcha. All right. Way back, people.
But remember, like, I remember being so jealous of the Colts because they had Peyton Manning, and then there was the suck for Luck year. So they had a down year. And then they got Andrew Luck. And it was just like, damn, they got the next, like, great quarterback. And that's, honestly, he was great.
Right.
And they did. I mean, they literally went from a Hall of Famer to what could have been a future Hall of Famer. And it was just like, so jealous of that franchise. Like, damn you. And so, to me, that's Irsay in Thor Ragnarok. Like, he's just like, Hulk's there in his posh pad, and he's like fighting these guys he can just beat down. Like, he's living the life.
Hulk like fire, Thor like water, and Hulk like real fire. Hulk like raging fire, Thor like smoldering fire.
And then the conversation happens. What is it? 7 years in, right?
Oh, yeah.
And now he's into the Avengers Infinity War, and he's just getting angry and pissed off. His friends are getting beat down, so he goes after Thanos, and he just gets smashed. Like, just literally, like, Hulk should never get smashed. Do you know what I mean? Like Hulk's the guy that smashed. Like, it's Hulk smash. That's what he does.
Didn't Hulk get smashed by Thor's sister as well?
Yeah, but let's not talk about that.
Okay,
yeah, that hurts my story.
Okay, yeah, sorry. Carry on. No.
Wrong movie.
It was so long ago.
That's way back. But anyway, so I just feel like he's gone through that sort of Hulk phase where, like, he's loving life. He's got literally, like, generations of great quarterbacks to fall behind. And then suddenly it's just like, bam, he gets smacked down.
Wow.
Shot to another planet. And he's just absolutely messed up. Right, and he literally can't get back to himself. And the question then remains for Irsay and the Colts, where do they go now?
Wow.
They have this amazing team.
Wow.
With young talent, and who rides them? Who rides them to that promised land? I don't know.
Who in the Avengers is Jacoby Brissett?
So
probably the Arrow guy, right?
That's not bad. That's not bad.
I would think probably.
Someone who doesn't have a great superpowers, like Black Widow.
Yeah.
You know, just like, I'm just here bouncing around.
I got a great ass, and I can punch.
got all these great moves, but I can't really finish anything.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Like Black Widow against Thanos? Come on.
Oh.
Come on.
No.
You're just a human for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Right?
Her power is they underestimate her.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. I'm going to go with Quentin Tarantino's first movie, Reservoir Dogs. And if you haven't seen it, and some people in this room haven't, it's about a bunch of career criminals who don't know each other who get together to steal some diamonds.
Yep.
They all get pseudonyms like Mr. White, Mr. Pink, and Mr. Black, so they don't reveal their identities to each other. It looks like a foolproof plan. But it all goes to shit when the cops show up and Mr. Blonde starts capping customers in the bank and it's just a fucking disaster, right? Then the majority of the movie is about Mr. Blonde, Mr. Pink, and Mr. White, and Mr. Orange trying to figure out who ratted them all out.
You wanna fuck with me? I'll show you who you're fucking with.
You wanna shoot me, you little piece of shit? Go ahead, take a shot.
Fuck you, White. I didn't create this situation, I'm dealing with it. You're acting like a first-year fucking thief. I'm acting like a professional.
I'm confused.
I know, totally. If you haven't seen it, go see it. So you've got Jim Irsay and the Colts, who...
Christian Slater was in this, wasn't he?
Fuck off. Who put this team together and have...
I got one. Sorry. I'm just so happy I figured something out.
No. So you got Jim Irsay, okay? Who together with the GM, they put together this team, and they have super high expectations. They're coming off a playoff appearance, and they've added some new weapons and are on odds of winning the AFC South, right? They're supposed to run away with it, okay? Everything is going according to plan, just like nice guy Eddie and his dad in Reservoir Dogs.
Which one was Eddie?
That was Christian Slater.
You were saying orange.
And then,
what color was he, though?
Just before showtime, shut the fuck up. And just before showtime, Mr. Orange, or should I say Andrew Luck.
Right.
Who's, by the way, been bleeding the whole movie. Yeah, yeah, Flippy, we showing him bleeding over there? We got him?
Fuck you! Fuck you! I'm fucking dying here! I'm fucking dying!
Wow, Clippy. Walks into Jim Irsay's office and says, "Hey, Jim, I've got some bad news. I'm actually a cop. And by the way, I retire." So Mr. Orange, he's like one of the best characters in the entire movie. The guy you're rooting for the entire time. And it turns out he's just a fucking narc. And I'm thinking Jim Irsay is listening to all of this like he's Mr. White. He's played by Harvey Keitel, one of the coolest actors of all time.
He is good.
Who loves this kid, right? Yep. Loves this kid. But has to shoot him at the end because he's so disappointed in him. And just as a side note, for those of you who aren't on Twitter, literally an hour before Andrew Luck retired, O.J. Simpson drafted him onto his fantasy team.
Come on.
So, Andrew, not that I'm saying anything here.
Good job, Andrew.
But if you see any Ford Broncos in your neighborhood, dude, call the cops, okay? Clippy, let's move on to second down.
Love it.
Second down.
Okay. Did we roll the Why We Hate Tom Brady?
I hate you.
You suck.
Why We Hate Tom Brady.
Okay, after we fire Clippy, we're just going to go into this next bit here. Okay, I don't even know where to start with this.
Did he get a drink, though?
He had three of them.
Fair.
Okay. Yeah. As you may or may not know, I'm not the biggest Tom Brady fan out there. I know. Shocker. Mm. Alert. Some people say he's the biggest egomaniac in the world.
Who are these people that are saying that?
Others who defend him are just wrong. So why, when you're going to play Cam Newton in the Panthers, would you dare to do something this stupid? Why are you trolling this guy in the preseason with your dumbass hat?
Brady's trolling Newton?
Well,
I'm just working out this, okay? Come on.
Oh, you think Newton's working on a five-year plan to troll Brady, who finally busts out that straw hat?
How would you troll Brady?
I don't even want to get into that.
Okay.
That's not the point,
okay? Sorry.
I do have an actual relevant question for this, okay?
No way.
Yes,
no.
I actually do. If you today could have Tom Brady on your team, but he had to wear that stupid hat every press conference,
the Jim Carrey
and
hat.
When he came off the field, would you take him?
I'd be tempted for the pure theater. And maybe he could be the mask and like make shit happen, right?
Wow.
Right? No. For like, I'm a Seahawks fan, of course. Love the Hawks. I have an incredibly overplayed quarterback who just happens to be awesome as well. And now, right now, today, Russell Wilson's got way more runway, I think, than Tom Brady does.
Yeah.
So, no, it would be hard. I mean, Wilson fits exactly what the Seahawks are. I think that's part of when you choose a quarterback is it has to be someone that fits that system that you've got going. And for the Seahawks, Wilson's perfect. Mm. Brady wouldn't survive in the Seahawks at all. Like, at all.
Because Russell's better at running for his life.
Yes, okay, pretty good. Much,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, and like, I mean, really, Seahawks are just playground football. You either bash it or you run around and do a big, huge, like,
or it's just
play.
Parking lot.
Yeah, it's just parking lot stuff. Just like, run around. Just go. No, come back. No, go over here. Okay. Yeah, and it's the 30-yard play. So it's not Brady's style.
Gotcha.
At all. But I mean, for the theater of it,
yeah,
love to see him on the sidelines.
I'm a Broncos guy, and I would absolutely love this to happen.
What?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would.
No.
And here's why. I would want Tom Brady to play right tackle for us.
He's got the height.
I know, totally. And this is why I love this.
He could have to change his diet, though.
Totally. And that's fine.
He's going KFC all day.
So that would be great. Number one, he would have greasy fingers the entire time, which would be great.
Yes.
That guy would get the shit kicked out of him all day long and in practice and in games. And could you imagine Tom getting lit up by some of these defensive ends?
Well, and some of those violent players in the NFL, like
totally.
300 or even Von Miller at 250, whatever they are, like, they just destroy guys. Or
by
they try
way,
to.
By the way, hands to the face is incidental when you're playing on the line.
That's right.
And here's the best part. So Tom would get fingers gouging eyes out. And he'd get smacked in the head.
Battle.
He'd be like half concussed. He'd be bleeding out his nostrils. He'd have that stupid helmet tattoo thing that gets smashed into your head here.
Yeah.
And he'd have to come off the sidelines. And he'd have to put on that stupid fucking straw hat. That's why I want Tom Brady on team.
Are we doing a serious look?
Yeah, because like, think about that just for a moment. Doesn't that feel good?
Third down.
Okay, I want to get a little serious for a moment.
Drink your drink, for crying out loud.
Let's get serious.
This is good, by the way.
No, it tastes like mouthwash.
Did you? Is it like three quarters whiskey, though?
That's mostly Hypnotique. So we're going to start hallucinating by fourth down.
What is Hypnotique?
I have no idea.
Am I saying it right?
No.
I feel fancy when I say it like that.
You got to roll the R.
It's Hypnotique.
So I am going to get serious for a second, okay?
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to read off some stuff. I just want you to just not talk for a second, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so far this preseason, and I get it. Some of this shit happens in practice, not a game, so don't fucking troll us and comment, okay? Bengals wide receiver A.J. Green is injured. Texans running back Lamar Miller is out for the year.
Jesus.
Teams aren't playing their starters like the Rams and the Bears, and they couldn't even get the fucking field right in Winnipeg for the Raiders-Packers game. Like, couldn't even get that right. Now, let me ask you something, okay? Spring training is awesome for baseball. Baseball fans love spring training, okay?
Really?
Summer league hoops in the NBA is great to watch.
That is
Don't act like a dumbass.
No, I am a dumbass.
Even preseason NHL is kind of okay, all right?
Okay.
Sort of fun. NFL fans hate the preseason. Like, they hate the preseason. So how would you, the coach, take the hate out of preseason?
Can I add some commentary? Is that okay?
This is what the show's about.
Oh, okay. So I can add left.
Feel free.
Yeah. The reason why, and I'm a football fan, the reason why I think football fans hate the preseason is because it's such a drop-off from a regular game.
Right.
So you look at baseball, hockey, basketball. It's like every game means a little bit. Right, like it's one of 162 or one of 82 or whatever, depending on the sport. Those are the sports. So I think a preseason game for hockey or baseball, where it's like, oh, that's kind of neat. They're kind of doing stuff out there. That's cool. Mm. But a football game, it's an impact in that one of 16. It's an impact in that year, where a preseason game is just like, oh, who cares?
Yeah.
So the drop-off to me is so huge. So that's my commentary. So the question was, again, how would I take the hate out of preseason? I think you just got to reduce it. I think, unfortunately, and I think the teams, willingly or not, I don't know, or sort of like, I don't know if there's sort of a something coordinated here or not, but like do two preseason games and do 18 regulars. If that, because you talked about maybe the owners obviously want to get some revenue. They charge for preseason, which I think is kind of weird, to be honest, because you're charging to watch guys you don't even know who are there or you can't even recognize. So I think two preseason games, and those are pure evaluation games that just the diehards like.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, I'm a Seahawks diehard fan, and I'll go and watch preseason because I've heard about, like, the sixth receiver that may or may not make it. Is he on the bubble? Is he going to make a play? You know, those are interesting stories for me as an individual team player, but I would never watch Jacksonville versus Miami.
Yeah.
I have no idea who's playing and what's at stake. There's no storyline. And for me, a lot of sports is about storyline, about the story, about the player, about the big guy, about something to latch on to make it interesting. And there's just nothing interesting in preseason football. Unless you know that team unless there's some evaluation. But, I mean, seeing, like, you know, Tom Brady out for two series and he's playing some, you know, basic offense against a basic defense, it just does – it's not the game.
Right.
It feels like it's just filler.
Yeah.
So why don't you make the game like, okay, the game matters because we've got 30 guys that are on the bubble and we're going to evaluate them and then we're going to make decisions and then, boom, let's play real games. Hmm. Like, it feels like filler right now. And I think fans are tuning out. Coaches don't want to get guys hurt, and it's fizzling. And this whole idea with the owners wanting to actually, you know, have those 18-game seasons, it's going to happen because of this preseason, I believe.
Huh.
Yeah. Prognostication.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what I think.
Could I just tune out now?
Yeah, please do. Okay. No, this is for them. This is for you, Mom.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. here
we
go.
Who are they?
Yeah, exactly. Here's what I think needs to happen. I think they need to do a Hard Knocks for every team.
Oh, my.
Every year. And the reason why is that we are following the Raiders right now because we know who
are. Yeah, to my point, right? Yeah, I like that.
And so do you think it costs a lot of money to make Hard Knocks?
Oh, reality TV costs the money?
Like, I'm sorry. You have to send, like, what, maybe 10, 15 cameramen into their training camp and shoot some shit and whatever.
A bit of editing and narrative, but whatever.
Big fucking deal.
Yep.
The point is that if you want to make preseason football compelling, and the reason why spring training's compelling, the reason why Summer League Hoops is compelling, the reason why preseason NHL is compelling is because the stars play. The guys you know play. The guys whose jerseys you buy play.
You know what?
But in preseason,
this is actually a good idea.
They don't. I know.
This is actually a good idea. This is weird.
Clippy, do we have like that good idea graphic that comes up? No, we don't have it. Why are you here? Why are you here?
Once in a while, you say something smart.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks,
dude.
Just
once in a while.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
To you.
Coming from an intellect like you, I really appreciate that. Okay, so here's the thing. Think about how much more interesting it would be to watch your team and every other team.
That'd be so good.
If every fan base was watching this behind the scenes.
But
you only need like 3 or 4 episodes going through the preseason.
Yeah, yeah.
And they need to focus more on the rookies. They need to focus more on guys who are maybe on the bubble.
Yeah.
Like, create some drama around those guys.
Totally.
So when you show up to the ballpark, you can be like, oh, yeah, that Epstein guy who's the 15th running back. I'm pulling for that guy.
So real quick.
Yeah.
That makes the pregame actually interesting.
Totally.
Because you're not going to watch all 32 teams and their Hard Knocks, but you're like, oh, you know what? I'm curious about the Browns, let's say, like everybody is.
Of course.
Say Browns and Steelers play in the preseason.
Yeah.
Then you watch the pregame, and they've got clips and these things about their individual Hard Knocks versions, and you're like, holy cow, there's this guy here. He's this receiver. There's a backup here. There's this guy here. The kicker's this. I mean, whatever. There's stories there. There's stories in all of these teams.
Totally.
They're just not being told.
Exactly.
And it makes it boring because you don't know, as we said, we don't know the drama behind the action.
Right. And the reason why people are freaking the fuck out.
This is amazing.
I know. Thank you. Wow. Clippy,
weird.
Is this recording?
This is weird.
Clippy. It's not recording.
Thank you.
Camera's not on?
Because I don't want it. Good. I don't want to record it that I'm complimenting you.
It's good.
It's
Should I just
so
get
weird.
Coach on my phone saying this? Because this is great. He's never said this ever. 15 years working together. This guy's never said this ever.
I never had reason to.
Oh, my God. Like, fair. Totally fair. Okay. So the reason why people are freaking out in Indy right now is because one of the big stars isn't going to be there.
Sure.
Someone that they readily identify with that they can go to. If you just casually followed college football, the only guy you know is Andrew Luck, right? So you show up in your number 12 jersey.
And
you
Jim
feel
Irsay.
Like, I have business. Right? And Jim Irsay. What number is he?
It's Irsay.
Zero.
Yeah.
So anyway, the point is that you need to identify more with these people. And as soon 100%. As you can connect a person to a number and you know who they are, I think it becomes much more compelling. Failing to do that, my second opinion on this.
Are you still talking?
Yeah.
Because I was kind of done. Like,
actually, it's true. We shouldn't double down on this, should we? That was pretty good.
That was amazing. Here, again.
Wow.
To stats.
Listerine, this is for you.
That's right. My breath smells good.
Wow. Clippy, are you leaving the room to get a beer now?
What's he? Where's he? Where did he go?
What are you doing?
Okay.
Unbelievable.
Is he? Fuck. Can you?
Look, it's bad enough that I have to, like, verbally cue you to actually switch shit around here. You can't even read my hand signals down here. But Jesus Christ.
There's like, hand signals?
I'm done making my point. You're off getting yourself a beer. Like, defend yourself.
He
somehow.
Kind of expected you to keep
oh,
going.
Oh, now he's on his phone. What are you doing? What is it you do? How much do we pay this guy?
Why does he keep coming back?
I have no idea. That's a good point. Do you know why?
No.
He owns the bar.
Oh, okay.
We're the only guy that drinks the beer.
That's right.
It's fine.
We're his best customers.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're his only customers.
Let's move along. Let's go to fourth down.
Fourth down.
Matt Barkley this season is 29 for 38 for 378 yards and three touchdowns and a 133.4 quarterback rating. Who does this help more, Josh Allen or the Bills?
I'm going to go with the Bills.
Okay.
I was going to go Allen at first just to kind of push him, but I don't think Allen needs to be pushed per se. Mm. But my concern for the Bills and Allen in particular is that this is a running quarterback who's not ready to sit back and just kind of sling it. I mean, he's the kind of guy you love because he's the kind of guy that's going to try and make plays and stretch plays. And the odd time you're like, oh, fuck, that's a 10-yard sack. So generally with the risk that Allen poses of getting injured, it's a great backup plan for the Bills. My concern is it's preseason. These are preseason stats. Is Barkley really that guy for that team? But at the end of the day, it's not like he's like, what the fuck was it, Baker Mayfield, like 10 for 26 with an interception? Like, he's not like fucking Nathan Peterman out there, at least. Like, at least there's the sense of comfort. It's like, okay, we love Allen. Great arm, great potential, great legs. But if he goes down, maybe we won't be completely shit for the season, right?
Hey, Barkley stepped in last year. He was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So like, I love the. I think the Bills this year, they're building, they're growing. They've got a run game that could work with their stable of backs, if you will. And then obviously the defense is fantastic. So if they can get Barkley there and he can manage the game and make some plays, you know, if Allen goes down, I think they're okay. So I think this helps the Bills a lot. It gives them a lot of comfort going through the season with kind of a well-rounded team that they have.
Interesting. Clippy, what do you got?
What are we talking about?
Okay, good. Okay. So here's my point. I smell quarterback controversy.
No,
yes,
no,
I do.
No,
yes,
no.
Yes, I do.
You're going there, aren't you?
And here's why.
I intentionally didn't go there.
No, here's why.
Ah.
Here's why. Ah. This is great for the Bills.
Bah.
This is great.
No.
Remember, when Matt Barkley was a junior in college, he was touted as being the number one draft pick in the NFL to come out. And sure, he receded a bit in his senior year in school. Who cares? That's the way it goes. He gets drafted late. Whatever. He wasn't given a great opportunity to succeed. Blah, 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 blah. So here he is. He has this renaissance.
Where
he has
get drafted?
He has this second ad. I don't know, fifth round, something like that.
No,
so
where?
Anyway,
what team?
Who cares? So let's move on. So
isn't
anyway,
he the stats guy?
Yeah. Stats guy?
You're the stats guy.
I'm making a point here.
Oh,
why are you
sorry,
throwing these fucking
sorry,
bombs in front
well,
of me?
Well, I'm trying to get context.
Are you?
Well, yeah.
Aren't you the coach?
Yeah.
Do you follow the NFL?
Which NFL?
Do you have the internet?
Sometimes.
Okay. Do your research.
He is locking stats, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
For a stats guy.
My point being is that here we go. Matt Barkley has had this rebirth, this second act, if you will, where he got brought in last year, and he got thrown in with barely, what, a week's, 2 weeks' notice to learn the playbook and actually succeed as the quarterback of the Bills. Now he's had some time to be able to adjust to the new offense, to figure out how things are going, and he is lighting it up not only against backups.
Yeah, the twos and the threes, yep.
But with a backup offensive line, which is arguably incredibly difficult to do.
And backup receivers, too.
Right? Yep. So, I mean, I would say that backup receivers, they can shine. But a backup line, I think, is very hard to adjust to.
So what your point is that he'd be great in the XFL.
I think he would be terrific. He would dominate the XFL. But if Allen regresses this year,
that's
and
blasphemy.
Let's be honest.
Blasphemy.
Guys, I was watching a little bit of the Lions game. It's not like Allen really impressed me. He was doing fine, but he overthrew some receivers. He missed Beasley a couple of times. He missed some timing
throws. Beasley's looking good, though, man.
Beasley is Beasley. The problem is he can only catch stuff that's like within his range.
You know, he does have seven.
But if you're throwing behind him, if you're throwing over his head, you can't catch that shit. And so, you know, Josh has to be able to work on his accuracy. That is his big knock out there.
Yep.
If you get a guy like Barkley, he's a guy that could readily step up. And so I'm saying, hey,
really?
We're loaded on defense.
Yep.
Remember, okay, let's go.
Barkley bandwagon?
Let's go back.
Was he a USC guy, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
With Carroll, probably.
Yes, he
later
was.
Later years, yeah.
Can we go back to the Ravens,
circa
Trent Dilfer, okay? Awesome defense.
2000.
And a quarterback who was serviceable. Just don't turn the ball over, right?
It's true.
That's all
it's
you
true.
Have to do. Well, Barkley is that kind of guy. Don't make the big mistake. Don't make a dumb rookie mistake or a dumb sophomore mistake out there. I think that with this defense this year, because the defense has improved, they could step up and be an all-world defense this year.
Whoa.
These guys were awesome last year. These guys had top five rankings in most of the categories as a defense. If you could stay in games with this defense, you could have a guy run this team as a game manager and do well. You just said yourself, we have a stable of running backs out there that could do incredibly well.
That's my biggest
Devin
question.
Devin Singletary is playing great ball. Christian Wade, the guy from England.
I know.
Fuck that guy. He just runs through everybody.
You know what? He's a cool story. He is. He's a cool story.
You got Frank Gore, who obviously wants to move up to third or second all-time in yardage.
Frank's looking for a retirement package, let's be honest.
Of course, yeah. So, I think that these guys could do a ground-and-pound kind of offense out there and have a serviceable quarterback and do incredibly well. Matt Barkley, quarterback controversy. I'm calling it.
Drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles.
What? That puts a wrap on this show. I want to thank our barkeep, not you. Thank our barkeep for an outstanding drink tonight.
It was good.
And if you're one of the lucky ones who hasn't drafted Andrew Luck yet and are looking for an edge, check out our Fantasy Fives blog at blitzfootball.com for Hank Mardukas' ultimate draft chart. Thanks for getting Blitz with us.
How good a name is Hank Mardukas?
Isn't that the best?
I love that name.
Is it? That's it, Mardukas.
Yeah, Dukas. I know. It's pretty good.
It's a hell of a name.
It is. I'm trying to wrap up.